5 years ago, sat in this room, probably somewhere in the middle, roughly 3 rows from the back. And unlike most of you, I was absolutely terrified. So anxious about coming to Clubhouse Extra. The GOAT game, it wasn't the GOAT game then, but it just didn't relax me at all. And I was like, what on earth have I come to? What is this? I desperately tried to get out of it. Done my best efforts. Hanpo'd phoned me up. I was at uni. I used a classic excuse. I was like, oh, sorry, Hanpo, I'm in the library. It's silent. You're going to have to phone me back another time. He was like, Dunks, get outside. I'm going to phone to you. So I kind of walked down the stairs, opened the door. I went, I was like, okay, I'm outside. He was like, are you coming to Clubhouse Extra? I was like, nah. What are you doing? Oh, I don't really know, but I'm not coming. He was like, Dunks, I've got your train booked. I've booked Clubhouse Extra. Your space is sorted. You're coming. And I was like, there wasn't much I could say, to be honest. I knew I was going. There I was. Got to Christmas. I thought, oh, crikey. Clubhouse Extra, 5 days away. I still didn't want to go. And then plan B, it came. It was perfect. It just rained and rained and rained in Scotland. And I phoned Hanpo up. I was like, Hanpo, I actually can't come. There's flooding. The railway line's been washed away just south of Glasgow. No chance I can come. Dave's like, Dunks, there's another route. You can come down the other coast. You're fine. You're going to arrive slightly late, but we'll see you there. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. And here I was, strolled in reluctantly late. I missed the team challenge. I didn't want to be part of that. I strolled in late and took my seat. Now, though, maybe you feel like that, maybe you don't. But the real encouragement was, it was at that moment, it was that time at Clubhouse Extra when it really hit me and it made sense. It made sense about what it was to be a Christian in sport for the very first time. What it meant to reach the world of sport for Christ. Why? Because Jesus is Savior, not only to me, but to all. See, He is Savior to all, and we've got a duty. A duty to go into the world of sport, back to our universities, and to share this wonderful news of Christ with our teammates. For He is the greatest of all time. He is Savior to all. There is no one greater. And this is what we're going to look at today. In Colossians 4, as we read, we're going to look at how do we reach the world of sport for Christ. Many of you, I appreciate you'll be familiar with the passage. You've probably done it in a university Bible study. But we're just going to dig deeper and unpack this further. And I hope by the end, you will just have renewed excitement, renewed energy as you leave here to go back to your university sports teams and to go and tell your teammates about Jesus Christ. And here we are, starting in Colossians 4. A bit weird. I appreciate that. At the end of the book, but we're going to look at the tactics for how we reach the world of sport for Christ. And this chapter just sums it up perfectly. It shows us who Jesus is in the light of who He is, the greatest of all time. It gives us 4 steps into how to live this out. Pray watchfully. Play wisely. Say tastefully. And do this together. If you're going to take anything away, those are it. Pray watchfully, play wisely, say tastefully, and do it together. Let's unpack these. Firstly, prayer. Let's look down. Look at verses 2 and 4 with me. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. You see, 5 years ago, here was I, sat in this room. Being a Christian in sport, it just didn't quite make sense. How do I play? How do I live for Jesus? How do I point my teammates towards Him? It just didn't click. Yet as the conference went on, it just became clearer. Christ, Savior to all, greatest of all time. And if that's who He truly is, if that's who Jesus truly is, then he deserves to be at the center of absolutely everything I do. Go back to your childhood. Middle of the winter, rain lashing it down outside. There's probably even a power cut as well. You have no idea what to do. And the one thing in the cupboard is a jigsaw puzzle. That's how bored you are. You get out the jigsaw puzzle. Lid comes off, you pour out the box. Puzzle pieces all over the table. And you're like, how on earth does this go together? You're just getting more and more frustrated. If you're anything like me, you get the pieces and you're like, they clearly don't fit together, and you're finding a way just to jam them together, squeezing them together, and yet it's just not quite working. Frustration's building, you want to flip the table, but then you see on your right, you see the box. You flip it over, and on the back of the box, there's a picture of the jigsaw, and in the middle of the jigsaw puzzle, there's a picture of a king. And it all made sense. Here you have it, the jigsaw puzzle with the king at the center. Everything else can just flow from that. And before you knew it, the jigsaw puzzle was complete. And you see, our lives are similar. With Jesus at the center of our lives as king, everything else makes sense. And what does this look like? Well, I want us to highlight this through prayer. It's fundamental in reaching the world of sport for Christ. Because it highlights an utter dependency on God. For it is He who opens hearts. It is He who transforms our teammates, not us. He is the author of creation. He has a grand plan. So why do we as Christians in the sporting world spend so much time trying to work out what His plan is for ourselves? Why not pray to Him and find out exactly what it is? See, prayer is, it's essential in reaching the world of sport for Christ, for this is God's kingdom and not our own. But how should we pray? Verse 2, it says it all. Look down, be devoted, be watchful, be thankful. Firstly, be devoted. It's this idea of constant prayer, commitment to prayer. Not just this casual contact when we feel like it, but it implies this absolute desire to press on and not to give up, to give our all to prayer. Secondly, watchful. It means to be on guard. We're to pray watchfully. So imagine an army base. You've got the guard tower. You've got the guard right at the top of it. His job is to protect the camp. He knows very much, he's very much aware that if he falls asleep, the enemy come in and they wreak havoc. And actually, our prayer life is similar. We are to pray watchfully, to be on guard, for without prayer, the enemy will come in and he will cause disruption, telling us to depend on ourselves and not on King Jesus. And it's so easy to fall into this trap ourselves. So often prayer is just a casual phone call. Oh, you pick up the phone, you ring that mate. Oh, it's just so casual, it's easy to do. I'll do it every so often just to touch base. But I want our phone to be like Jim White's phone on transfer deadline day, just going off constantly in the Sky Sports Arena. He picks it up and it's constantly buzzing. We should be constantly communicating to our Lord God and be utterly dependent on Him, asking for guidance and wisdom in all that we do. And if that's the case, if that is how we pray watchfully, then we will be thankful. Thankful for our own salvation. The fact that we have been saved when we just totally don't deserve it, when we are so unworthy. But also thanking God for what He's going to do. Expecting faith that He is going to transform hearts. For He is Savior to all. And He's not finished yet. He is still at work today. He is still at work right now. And if that's the case, what should we pray for? Look, verses 3 and 4. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. See, watchful prayer means we should be praying for two things. Firstly, an open door to the message, an open door to the word. And that phrase, it's used three other times in the Bible, once in Acts. And God opened the door to the Gentiles. The result was faith. It happened again in 1 Corinthians. An open door is a set of circumstances that provided a climate of just receptivity for people who were there. And again in 2 Corinthians. An open door is a set of circumstances that were favorable for the gospel going out. See, we are to pray for an open door for the word. Secondly, clarity and boldness as the communicator. That's what we're also to pray for. So that as the door opens, God's word, the wonderful message of Christ, of the gospel, may go through it clearly and powerfully. You see, we are called to watchful prayer. And that is our role as Christians in sport. To be utterly dependent on God. And the invitation this week is to pray. Over these 3 days, it is to pray. And why not do it now? You've got a pen, some of you got paper, some of you have your phone. I want you really quickly, 30 seconds, to open up your notes. I want you to write down 2 of your teammates' names. And I want you right now to take 30 seconds in the peace of your own heart to pray for them. This is the best place to start. And let's be committed. Every time you open your phone, you can screenshot it. It can be your wallpaper, your screensaver. And you can pray for them every single time you open your phone. So we're going to take 30 seconds now and go and pray for 2 teammates that they may hear the word of God. Secondly, play wisely. We've got a role in the way we conduct ourselves to show those around us, to show our teammates that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Savior for everyone, not just us, not just you, but every single person in your sports team. Look at verse 5 with me. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Why be wise in the way we act towards outsiders? Well, Proverbs 11, verse 30, it just sheds some light on this for us. It says this, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." Look what it says. It says, "He who is wise wins souls." Again, in Daniel 12, verse 3, this is what he puts. "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead the many to righteousness are like the stars forever and ever." You see, clearly here, the goal of being wise, it's to lead and to point people to Jesus Christ. By being wise in the way we act and conduct ourselves, they'll see the light of Christ in that. They'll experience the greatest of all time, the Savior to all. And as sports people, we're to conduct ourselves in a manner that points our teammates to Jesus. All right, fair. Dunks, you can stand here, you can tell us that. We hear it all the time. All right, what does it actually look like? Well, work hard. Be competent. Don't meddle. And don't be lazy. In other words, don't give the people the argument that Christianity makes us lazy or nosy or incompetent or unproductive. Walking in wisdom means living out our faith in our sports clubs. using the gifts and talents that God has given every single one of you in this room for God's glory rather than reproaching our own faith. And wisdom takes note of the culture that we're in. It avoids offense. It avoids rude behavior. And once we play in a way that is above criticism, honoring God with our play, that is wisdom. That is what is wise. So I recently learned that phosphorus in Greek apparently means light bringer. I had absolutely no idea, but apparently phosphorus in Greek means light bringer. And when you expose it to light and then take it into a dark room, that phosphorus will continue to give off light. And this is what I want us to be like in our sports clubs. I want us to be the phosphorus in our sports clubs, that when we're in light like this and we go back to our sports teams, we are shining light, the light of Christ, into that darkness. Allowing your teammates to see the light of Christ through how you act and conduct yourself on that pitch and on that court. See, what an amazing privilege we have to point our teammates to the wonderful news and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And let's also imagine time as money. Now, yesterday is like a cancelled check. Okay, tomorrow is like a scheduled payment that's to come in, a promised payment, but it's not quite come yet. And today is the only cash you have. It's in your hand, and you've got to spend it wisely. See, buy the opportunities of life for eternity. Make the most of the time that you have. But as you make the most of every opportunity, don't negotiate. Don't negotiate how you spend your time. Don't negotiate those opportunities. Don't let statistics determine who hears the gospel. That captain, he's not interested. Don't negotiate for him, because this is the word of God, and this is for absolutely everyone in your team. Because Jesus Christ is the Savior to all. So make the most of your time. See, play wisely. Live it out. Let's be sports people who are dependent on prayer, but also significant in the way that we live. See, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. That is 1 Peter 2. And use that as a memory verse as you go back. Pray watchfully. Play wisely. And thirdly, say tastefully. Two parts to it, say and tastefully. See, how do we use our speech to point people towards Christ? How do we use it? Well, for those that are British in the room, you'll know we talk all the time about the weather. For those who aren't British in the room, let me tell you, we talk all the time about the weather. Like, all the time. It's pathetic, small chat. On average, we spend 8 minutes and 21 seconds a day talking about the weather. 3,047 minutes and 45 seconds a year talking about the weather. That's 127 hours, almost 5 days, talking about the weather. Yeah, I wonder how much time we spend a year talking about Jesus. See, if he is the Savior to all, which we truly believe he is, surely we should spend the majority of our time sharing the joy of Christ with our teammates. See, look at verse 6. It tells us what our speech should look like, full of grace and seasoned with salt. See, full of grace. It means kindly with our words. Be kind, not aggressive. We're to speak words that reflect God's grace in Jesus Christ. And as you look to make the most of every opportunity, surely I'm looking to give people the opportunity to come face to face with Jesus on the pages of Scripture so that they can discover for themselves how glorious he is in his entirety. Let God's words do God's work. And secondly, tasty, seasoned with salt. It's in verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. What we say about Christ and about the Christian life should be made as appetizing as possible, shouldn't it? When food is not salted, it's pretty grim, it's bland, and you just kind of like pass it on. I've got the reputation for being an awful cook in the house, probably because I don't put any salt in it. But here we are, our speech, it's not meant to be like that. It's meant to be tasty. It's meant to be attractive. It's not about being deceptive or unfaithful to God's word, but actually, how do we make it attractive, to make it appealing? How do we make it to help the person you're speaking to, that individual, that group, hear Jesus Christ in a way that just draws them in to find out more? And we can do it in all times, in all places. We recently had a rugby social, Christmas social, bus trip back, over 30s dressed as Santas, under 30s dressed as elves. I had my like tight green tights on, they were hideous, had an elf the buddy jumper on. And bus trip back was going well. Talking about all things rugby, all things sport, all things life. I'm like, why not speak of Jesus in that moment as well? Why not talk and share Jesus? See, back to the verse, because it doesn't end there. There's a personal focus, an individual attention to sharing the gospel. Look at the end of verse 6. So that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. The point is simple. Each person is different. Each situation is different. But the gospel, it's the same. Christ is the same. But there are countless ways to serve that meal. And we need wisdom to know how to serve it and wisdom in how to season it. But the encouragement here is that there's no special techniques about how to share Jesus. The opportunities are everywhere. And it's whether we decide to take them or not. And in order to do that, in order to take those opportunities, we must remind ourselves of why the gospel tastes so good. Remind ourselves of God's grace. How unworthy and undeserving we are, yet how amazing it is, so we can go and share this and speak of this with joy and make it tasty to those in our teams. But as we talk of this, how often do we do that? We so often panic when we get into those situations. Well, I just want to encourage you and challenge you to reflect on how often do you actually practice telling our non-Christian teammates about the gospel? How often do we actually try and practice that? It's something that makes us scared, it makes us anxious, but how often do we practice it in a way that is natural, in a way that is salty? Not panicky, not anxious, not waffly. Yes, God uses us in all our weaknesses. But if we are serious about sharing the gospel and trying to proclaim it clearly, we should take it seriously and practice. Practice articulating it clearly in a manner that we can speak into their current life situations. So when the opportunity presents itself, we should seize it and let God and the Holy Spirit work. So here we are, to pray watchfully, to play wisely, say tastefully, and lastly, do it together. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to the end, that Rosie read, that we're going through, we see Paul wasn't alone. He was in a team, not just any team, but a missional team. Verse 11 refers to him and his co-workers for the kingdom of God. They didn't stand still. They were constantly on the move, sending Tychicus and Epaphras. They were on the move, going, going, going. They were on a mission, encouraging hearts in verse 8, spreading the news in verse 9, and wrestling in prayer in verse 12. They were a missional team doing mission together. And not only were they a missional team, but in verse 16, we see that they were fulfilling the Great Commission as they multiply their team, See, the message in Colossians, it wasn't just for the Colossians, but it was spread to Laodicea, to Hierapolis, and to those meeting in Nympha's house. You see, they were a team who were to be expansive in their vision, reaching everyone for Christ. What does this look like for us? Well, look around the room. Take a minute. Look around the room. There's more than 100 of us in this room. There's more than 50 in Northern Ireland right now. There's 30 in Scotland right now. Christians in sport, you're not alone. We're a team. We are co-workers for Christ. And here we are to encourage one another for the kingdom of God. So let's get those conversations flowing. Let's encourage one another over these 3 days. Go and speak to one another. Find out about the other university work. How you can be praying for them. Because we are in this together. You are not alone. And we are a team here in the UK and further afield. And we've got one mission. To reach the world of sport for Christ. But not only that, we are multiplying. More sports people heard the gospel this year across universities than last year. More people have attended Club Section this year than last year. People are hearing about Jesus. And like Colossians 4, this message is for everyone. And we have a duty. A duty to go and tell everyone in the world of sport at our universities about Jesus Christ. By trusting the Lord that He is in control and by being bold. Through praying watchfully. Through playing wisely. Through saying tastefully. And doing this together. We will reach the world of university sport and they will hear about the greatest of all time. They will hear about Jesus Christ and what an absolute joy this will be. So here we are at the beginning of Clubhouse Extra, England, and I want to stand and encourage you to live out your faith, to reach the world of sport for Christ, to share the news of Jesus with your teammates as Hampo shared it with me. Why? Because Jesus is the greatest of all time. And everyone deserves to hear about Him. For He is Savior to all. Let me pray. Oh, dear Lord, thank you so much for the joy it is to be Christians in sport. To live for you, to go and play for you. Thank you so much for the bodies, the gifts and the talents and the abilities you have given us. And as we read from Colossians 4, I pray that we'll just take this to heart. That we will live for you at the center, you as King of our lives. And we will pray for you. We will pray to you watchfully. We will play for you wisely. We will speak of you tastefully. And we will do this as a team. So these 3 days, Lord, I pray that we will just encourage one another to go back to our universities and to live for you in all that we do. We pray that in your precious name. Amen.